Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is December 16th, 2020, and we have a really good show planned for you today. First hour, we're going to be looking at the role of the bowel in managing vitamin D regulation. Some recent research out of Rutgers University shows that there's parts of the intestine that are doing things that we never realize and what the implications of that are. A lot of people in my audience I know suffer from Crohn's and IBS and ulcerative colitis, and we've done shows about that. Well, this is very important to those of you that fit into that category. Later in the show, we're going to talk about this really amazing little device that I've fallen in love with. I carry it around the house. It's called Milestorm. We're going to talk about that later because you can actually massage, use it to recover faster, treat injuries with it in the comfort of your own home, your car, your bed, wherever you want to. It's very exciting. We'll talk about that later. Of course, Friday is my 15-year anniversary show, and those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, I'm asking you to do one of two things. Either email me at onair@superhumanradio.net with just your full name and the year you started listening. If you're a little more courageous than that, you can make a video with your smartphone, a short video, 10, 15, 20 seconds. Wish the show a happy 15th anniversary and upload it to shrnetwork.biz/yourstory, and we'll include it in the montage that we'll be playing throughout the show. We're only going to have a couple guests on the show. These are guests that had a genuine impact in the direction that this show took as it changed organically. But the show is really going to be about the listeners more than anything else. So hopefully you can get those in and you can be included and immortalized in the show. Of course, we have to thank our title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods. The URL is shrnetwork.biz/legendary. The code is SHR10. The most exciting things right now in Legendary are these tasty pastries. For those of you who, as a child, loved Pop-Tarts, or maybe you still love them today, but you just don't want to eat crap, the tasty pastry is basically a Pop-Tart with zero sugar, 15 grams of high quality, high leucine protein, no gluten. They taste great. Your kids will love them. They'll think that they're unhealthy. That's why they'll love them, but they aren't. If you use the code SHR10, you can get them at shrnetwork.biz/legendary. And make sure to try the hot fudge and blueberry. Those are their two latest flavors. Show them some love. And now, without further delay, I'll bring my guest on and just get the artwork set up here. Dr. Sylvia Christakos is with Rutgers University. How you doing, Dr. Christakos?
Good, great.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. And we almost didn't do this show today because we had some technical difficulties and we thought we were going to have to give up, but we prevailed. So that's all there is to that. Dr. Christakos, talk about this research. Why this study that you recently published? What preceded this that required this research to be done?
So previously, it had been thought that only the proximal intestine, this is the part right after the stomach, was the most important part for regulation of calcium absorption by vitamin D. And they said the rest of the intestine, you know, this particularly the colon, doesn't play any effect. But there were some patient studies where the patients had extensive resection of the small intestine. And those patients were shown to have intestinal calcium absorption if the colon was preserved. If the colon wasn't preserved, they had less calcium absorption and more bone disease.
Mm.
So they preserved the colon and they had extensive resection of the other sections of the intestine. The colon must be doing something, even contrary to what had been thought. So we decided to test that. And I can tell you the mouse model that we used.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. So to explain the study. What exactly did you do? How was it constructed?
So what we did, so having seen this and saying, look, everybody else just concentrates on the duodenum. Look, these patients did better if they had the colon. So there must be something going on in the distal intestine. So we had a mouse model of which lacked the effect of vitamin D. So it was genetically engineered mouse to have no vitamin D receptor. So these mice had no protein that binds the active form of vitamin D, and that protein mediates its actions. So they have rickets. They have bone disease because they don't have any vitamin D receptor. We'll call it the VDR, vitamin D receptor knockout mouse. So we took those mice. They had rickets, and we genetically engineered into those mice the vitamin D receptor only in the distal intestine, only in the distal intestine, including the colon. So there was no vitamin D receptor anywhere except the distal intestine.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Okay.
So what I had expected to occur was maybe they'd have some better bones than the vitamin D receptor knockout mouse. But what we found, not only did they have better, you know, a little better, they were actually totally reversed the rickets seen in the vitamin D receptor knockout mice. So the bones were now normal if you just had the vitamin D receptor in the distal intestine. So we were pretty surprised by those findings. I thought a little better, but that they were completely normal. So that was what we were surprised. And what this bottom line is, we've neglected this other area of the intestine as a factor involved in mediating vitamin D intestinal calcium absorption. And it may indeed play more of an important role than we thought.
Well, it sounds like it plays a very important role, considering that just that portion of the intestines was working and it was adequate enough to correct for this or compensate for this. So a couple of questions, first of all, just kind of set the table. We're exclusively talking about dietary vitamin D here, right? Or does vitamin D produced through photosynthesis in the skin also get absorbed in the intestines?
Yeah, actually, you know, that's a really good question. There are very few foods that contain vitamin D. You have your calcium and vitamin D supplemented dairy products, you know, for dairy products, for orange juice, milk, however, and fatty fish. So your supplemental dairy products contain vitamin D and fatty fish, but that's about it. Your actually most important source of vitamin D is the sun.
Right.
And the sun, it has to have certain UV radiation so that if you're in the Northeast in the winter, it's not, even if it's a sunny day, it's not going to help you out.
Right.
So it has to be in the summer or in warm climates.
Right.
So many people in the Northeast and other regions where there's not sunlight that produces sufficient UV radiation,
supplement.
You don't get the benefit of vitamin D being formed in the skin. So what happens is there's a pre-vitamin D, and with UV radiation, that pre-vitamin D becomes vitamin D in your skin.
Right.
And actually, if you're in the summer, 15 minutes in the sun, you get about 10,000 units of vitamin D. So the sunlight is really the most important, not most important, most effective producer of vitamin D. But we all have to be careful not to be out in the sun too much because of skin cancer. So the bottom line is people who live in the Northeast, or if you're not in the sun and have the benefit of the sun at many times of the year, you need to take supplements of vitamin D.
Right.
Because there's not enough foods that have it, and many of us are not in the sun with proper UV irradiation
to produce
all year round.
Yeah. But and as I've understood it in the past, and that's why I asked this question, the vitamin D that's produced in the sun and pre-vitamin D, which is the longer you stay in the sun, there's a negative feedback regulatory effect where the your body actually starts to degrade the vitamin D so that you don't overproduce it. And that's something we don't see with orally administered. But so the intestines,
you're exactly correct.
Yeah, they don't play any role in absorption of vitamin D that's produced in the skin, right? That just goes right into the blood and into the liver. It's converted to 25-OHD and so on. That
you're
doesn't
good.
Rely on the
you're
stomach.
Good.
So we're talking predominantly about orally administered vitamin D, but this raises another question. So there's a lot of people out there who have been diagnosed with frank ulcerative colitis or some bowel disorder. And it's clear that those people would probably have to try a different source of administration. Maybe they should be using injectable vitamin D or something like that to overcome the malabsorption. But what about people who just have nagging, you know, subclinical issues with their colon? They could be at risk as well because they're not being diagnosed and the doctor saying, hey, you're not going to absorb vitamin D from your diet, so you need to do something else. They just go through their life without adequate amounts of vitamin D.
Well, you know, what it is, the people with colitis, the people that have problems with their colon, they still have the proximal intestine intact.
Mm.
So even though the distal intestine plays a role, the proximal intestine, you can't minimize the importance of the proximal intestine. So all those people have the proximal intestine. So they perhaps can be compensated, but perhaps the people that have colitis, and they have to watch out for bone disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they have the proximal intestine, but if you need the distal intestine as well as the proximal intestine, it's not to minimize the role of the proximal intestine,
right,
which is very important.
But obviously nature gave us both for a reason. They probably complement each other in working on absorption.
Yeah. And so people with colitis should be and their providers should be sensitive to what is going on with the bones. And very often, if all the physicians are specialized, right? So if you're a GI physician, are you worried about the bones, like an endocrinologist maybe?
Mm-mm.
No. So there has to be crosstalk between the different specialties. And therefore, this alerts maybe perhaps the GI specialist. Hey, yeah, they have Crohn's disease or they have inflammatory bowel disease. Check the bones. You know, the distal intestine may be really, you know, play a role, an important role. And we haven't worried about it because you say, oh, they have the proximal intestine intact. That's fine. But
is it enough to start to pay attention? You know, there's become an awareness about the importance of vitamin D over the past decade. I have my vitamin D level, my 25-OHD levels checked a few times a year because I want to make sure that when I'm supplementing, I'm in that target. I'm one of those people who is in the sun all the time. I have a lot of melanin, but more importantly, I have some different ideas about where skin cancer comes from. And so I'm not afraid of the sun. My ancestors clearly weren't afraid of the sun. Our ancestors, yours and mine, they weren't afraid of the sun. They were in the sun all the time. And I don't think skin cancer was as prevalent. So there's some issues of modernity that are contributing to the formation of skin cancer. But with that being said, I have my OHD levels tested in the summer as well because I lay in the sun continuously. I get so dark. In Italian, melanjama is eggplant. My mother used to call me a little eggplant when I was a kid because I would be out in the sun. I would turn colors. I'd get so dark. So I guess the idea that checking for vitamin D levels is that not adequate for these doctors? The endocrinologist knows to do it, but maybe the gastroenterologist needs to start saying, well, I need to start checking. These people may have malabsorption. Let me start adding 25-OHD tests to my panels.
Yeah, I think that would be important, particularly for, you know, people in the Northeast and in the North and the certain latitudes.
Yes, very good. Okay, so let's go back to your research. So after you discovered that in the unknockout rodents that they started to recover from their rickets and so on, did you determine how long it took for adequate levels of vitamin D being absorbed in the colon to actually affect these changes? Was it pretty rapid, or did it take a while?
Well, the mice, because they're genetically engineered, they were born with the vitamin D receptor in the distal intestine. So we actually measured them at 8 weeks of age, which is adult for the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, what about when they were younger? So I didn't do younger studies than adult.
Okay. But that's impressive that adults are harder to change. You know, they're harder to see because they're kind of they've reached their peak, let's say, and they're harder to change. So you still saw remineralization of the bones once the was corrected.
Perfect. Perfect.
In totally weeks? Perfect. In weeks? How long did it take?
At 8 weeks of age for the mouse.
Right.
And
mm-hmm. Wow, that's stunning. What else did you learn from this research? Was there anything that really kind of jumped out at you? Like, I know you had endpoints in mind, but was there anything that made you go, wow, we didn't expect to see that?
The other thing we didn't expect was that, you know, we do genome-wide studies. Mm-hmm. You know, what other genes were changed? And what we found was the genes involved in the duodenum in active calcium transport were the same genes in the distal intestine that were induced. So we said, you know, before that, people said, oh, the distal intestine, first of all, isn't involved. And if it is involved, it's just passive calcium transport. It doesn't have the same genes as perhaps the proximal intestine does, doesn't respond to vitamin D similarly. We found that it was the same. You know, the same genes, the same players, the calcium channel, the calcium binding protein that's in the proximal intestine were also in the distal intestine and responded to vitamin D. So this is active calcium transport in both sections. So I think that previously it's not passive transport. It's just like the duodenum.
Interesting.
So, and then the other thing that we found that was interesting, because it's a genome-wide study, is that a manganese efflux transporter that protects against manganese toxicity was markedly induced just like those calcium channel, just like the calcium binding protein. And you're going, a manganese efflux transporter? And manganese is very important for certain processes, and it's an ion that's needed for various enzymatic reactions. So it's important for your body. It's mm-hmm. also important for your bones. And toxicity will result in neurological problems. So why was the manganese efflux transporter also induced? So we're doing further studies on that. So what that implied to us is that we all think of vitamin D as involved just calcium homeostasis, that's its main role, is particularly in the intestine. And now we're saying, hey, wait a minute. It's not only calcium. Maybe it affects other ions as well. So vitamin D may have a role not only in calcium homeostasis, but also in the homeostasis of other ions.
It makes sense, because calcium, you know, I mean, it's the same, the family of these I like to call them minerals, but you know, they're trace minerals and iron and so on. And so they all kind of fit into that family group. And it makes sense that the vitamin D would influence many of them, not just one, maybe not all of them, but many of them for sure.
And I think this opens up another whole area and another way of thinking about vitamin D, you know.
What were the rodents tested for serum levels of OHD? Were they tested?
So we tested them for levels of calcium, serum calcium and phosphate. Mm-hmm. The mice that just had the vitamin D receptor in the distal intestine, their serum calcium and phosphate were totally normal. Now, we didn't do 25-hydroxy on them.
Yeah. I would just be curious to see what their levels were when they started to see reversal of these. But I understand this was a calcium study. You know, vitamin D was kind of like a facilitator in this study. You really want to see what was happening with calcium because of bone mineralization. So it makes perfect sense.
It's vitamin D-mediated calcium homeostasis.
Right, right.
So it's only vitamin D-mediated calcium homeostasis.
So we have a question from a live viewer, Sean Bean, who is a practitioner. He says, what about proper, improper bile flow to absorb oral vitamin supplementation due to the lack of emulsification? He has a client that's a 18-year-old that has Crohn's, has altered vitamin D125 ratio to DOH3, I mean a 25OH. So do you have any opinions on the bile relationship in the absorption of vitamin D?
Now, I'm not sure bile flow directly affects vitamin D, as far as I know. Now, this patient has altered vitamin D 125. What are the levels of 25-hydroxy D? You can ask Sean.
Yeah,
what are the levels of 25-hydroxy D in these patients?
Yeah, Sean, if you could update your comments. I see you just posted something else, and this is about obese people. We know that obese people have a more difficult time absorbing a supplemental vitamin D3. So while he's updating his question, a lot of people out there having lots of different types of surgeries, you know, like you said, resectioning, or even the gastric bypass, they all affect vitamin D absorption, don't they?
Yes, the gastric bypass patients have a really a severe problem because they're losing the proximal intestine, and they indeed have bone disease, and the clinicians are very aware of that. So and why I think this is important, can we target for these people who've had the gastric bypass, the distal intestine, and calcium absorption in the distal intestine, and would that help those individuals?
Hmm.
And what we're doing as a next step and what's currently in progress is that we're collaborating with chemists who made analogs of the active form of vitamin D that will only target the distal intestine.
Oh, wow.
So what they do, they add a glucuronide to the active form of vitamin D, and that glucuronide is only cleaved in the distal intestine. It has the bacteria in the distal intestine, so that will cause it to be active only in the distal intestine. And we're looking at the effectiveness, at least in mice and aging mice, on these analogs on improving calcium absorption if you just target the distal intestine. So maybe for the patients with gastric bypass who have so many metabolic abnormalities that at least to help their bones, that you can target the distal intestine through some of these analogs.
Yeah, they malabsorb copper. You're talking about
everything.
Different ions. They malabsorb everything. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. So Sean Bean did update his comment. He said, he just says 25 with 125 at 88.
And what's the 25?
I guess that's the OHD.
Oh, 25 isn't...
That's kind of low, 25 OHD.
But it's not, you know, sometimes I think they overdo it, you know, with testing, like normal people. Everybody has to get tested to 25 hydroxy. But mm-hmm. do you really have to get tested? And is 25 really bad? You know, there's been controversy on whether 30 or 20 is okay. And the bottom line is the Endocrine Society says, oh, you should be 30. And the Institute of Medicine said, no, 20 is okay if you're normal. So the consensus is that you should be 30 and above, 30 within a range is okay if you're older and if you have some disease process. If you're healthy and young, 20 is okay. So 25 is okay. I'm not sure about the 125 level. And, you know, bile acids can bind to the vitamin D receptor.
Mm.
So, but it's the bile acid mechanisms that can occur through the vitamin D receptor, not that the bile acids affect vitamin D, but they can affect their own action through the vitamin D receptor. So I'm not sure about the bile acid and this patient, and I can just comment on that, you know, 25 hydroxy is okay, and I'm not sure what's going on here.
So we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to submit a question to you, because I have a theory on how to find every individual person's sweet spot for 25 hydroxy. And I want to run it by you, and you can, and I want you to be, if you, Carl, you're crazy, that's ridiculous, I've never heard of that before, I want you to tell me when we come out of the break. We're going to be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
When craving a snack, reach for Select Savory Snack Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapist can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Sylvia Christakos from Rutgers University. We're talking about regulation of vitamin D in the intestines and in the, more importantly, the colon, which was previously thought not to even play a role. So I have to give you a little of the backstory to understand why I think this is the best way that we should be testing patients for vitamin D. 12 years ago, I started doing shows about insulin resistance, looking at it strictly from a dietary standpoint, not a disease, but something that's manageable by a diet. And it became very obvious to me that checking blood sugar in the morning and seeing this number, whatever, 75, is meaningless unless you know how much insulin your body is producing to achieve that 75. The analogy I gave on the show back then was, you know, you can't tell how fast you're going in a car by looking at the distance between the gas pedal and the floorboard. If you're going uphill, you're probably going slower for the same amount of engine power that you're producing if you're going downhill. So I immediately started to always ask my personal physician when I did my fasting blood sugar levels. I wanted to see my insulin levels, because if my insulin levels are very low and my blood sugar levels are very low, then I'm optimized. My body is running well. It's not like as though my pancreas is pushing out crazy amounts of insulin to achieve that number. Then when the discussion of vitamin D started to come into play, I looked at vitamin D, as you're talking about, primarily as a regulator of bone mineral, calcium, plasma levels of calcium, and so on. And I thought, well, what else plays a role in calcium? The parathyroid. So I started to think to myself, epidemiology comes up with these ranges, but epidemiology takes into account sick people. They're in that population. And we don't want to be where sick people are. We want to be where healthy people are. And so I thought, gee, these are broad ranges, 20, picograms, how do they measure D?
Nanograms to
90. It's like, wow, that's a really big place to be if you're a normal person. Surely there has to be a way to say, well, Dr. Christakos, her best levels are here. Carl, yours are here. And I started thinking, why don't doctors check not just for 25-OHD, but parathyroid hormone? So my theory would be supplement until parathyroid hormone stops being produced or is being produced minimally, and stop there. Because you're getting enough D so the parathyroid doesn't have to catch up and make up for what the D is not doing. Okay, now, what do you think?
I think you're good. You're good. You know what's going on. I think that that why they measure 25-hydroxy, it's the most stable metabolite that'll give you an index of what your vitamin D levels are. And together with levels of calcium should give you an idea. Now, the PTH, I think, is really important. And I think that if you suspect a problem and someone keeps coming up deficient, I think PTH is warranted. I wouldn't want to have everybody get PTH and vitamin D, but I think you're absolutely correct that if you suspect a problem, measure PTH, and I think the endocrinologist would definitely agree with you.
So Sean Bean had one other question, and it's about obesity. And since obesity is a big problem in our population today, he says, have you seen obese people requiring higher levels, 10,000, 20,000 IUs, to obtain optimal levels? Some theory is that the body represents body fat as another organ requiring vitamin D or more vitamin D.
Hi. So I think, we have to be careful insofar as, all right, so what about obesity? And I think that the amount of vitamin D can be regulated according to body weight. Some endocrinologists have suggested that. I think that 10 to 20,000 units a day is too high. That I think that supplements of vitamin D are safe until 10,000 units a day. And then after that, it's no guarantee. We don't want to get into the range of toxicity. And I think this is important. You can buy online pills that are 50,000 units, and clinicians often give those for, you know, once a week for 4 weeks, and then you taper down. There have been people who ordered that online, and there was an abstract at the Endocrine Society meeting some years ago where a person ordered the 50,000 unit pill and took it every day for a couple of months and almost died. And why did they almost die? And that's because of the kidney calcification. And so they almost died because of that sort of toxicity in the kidney. So, and hypercalcemia. So bottom line is, there are endocrinologists who would indeed suggest that the amount of vitamin D should be per body weight. And right now we say for a routine for everybody who's not sick and but is not in the sun and doesn't get enough vitamin D, 1,000 to 2,000 units a day. Sometimes people will say if you have some disease process, you know, vitamin D has at least in mouse models, multiple effects that affect colon cancer and breast cancer and in autoimmune diseases such as multiple sclerosis and inflammatory bowel disease. It inhibits inflammatory cytokines, at least in mouse models. So they say maybe for those people it wouldn't hurt if they got 4,000 units a day. But I think even for obese people, 10 or 20,000 units a day is too much.
Okay, so now let's circle back, and I want to do this just for clarification. And I understand, I know the answer already, but I want you to explain it. So earlier we talked about being in the sun for 10 or 15 minutes and producing 10,000 IUs of vitamin D, and people would say, "But doctor, I go to Mexico and I lay in the sun for 5-6 hours a day. My body is producing hundreds of thousands of IUs of vitamin D." But it's not, because the longer you're in the sun, the more of it breaks down before it gets delivered, right?
The sun doesn't produce toxic levels of vitamin D. Oral administration, you can take too much to kill yourself. But insofar as the toxicity in the kidney and kidney stones, if you're taking like these massive amounts every day and hypercalcemia, but you're absolutely correct. With the sun, it's not toxic.
And the reason we even know that vitamin D could kill you is because early research, I want to say it was done by Dr. Stephenson on the Inuit. They knew not to eat. They knew to peel the sheath of the polar bear liver off before eating it, because it had so much vitamin D in it that when they ate the sheath, it killed them. In a couple of days, they were dead. And so we knew that, wow, vitamin D is harmful if you get too much. Tommy D, hey, look at that, Tommy vitamin D. Tommy D says, would K2 somewhat reduce the risk of calcification in with, he's talking about higher doses of oral vitamin D.
There's a lot
of vitamin D supplements out there that come in 5 and 10,000 units, and they include some of the K2, because it's said that the K2 keeps it from going into tissue and causing tissue calcification.
So what is the K2?
K2 is vitamin K. Vitamin K2. Yeah. There's three different forms.
Oh, so that's for blood clotting.
Yes. Yes.
And so
the supplement companies now include in larger dose vitamin D. They include vitamin K2 because there's research out there that was actually, I think, done by the vitamin D. There's an organization out in California that's kind of the vitamin D commission. That was good. They say, well, if you take K2 with high doses, you're safe. You won't get the tissue calcification.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
So and with blood clotting, it's a blood clotting mechanism that's mediated by calcium. So what vitamin K does, it adds a gamma carboxy glutamate to various clotting factors, blood clotting factors, and that gives them a negative charge. so that they can go to the site of injury where the plasma membrane is, and where there's calcium in the plasma membrane, right? Mm-hmm. So the now these clotting factors can go to the site because they have a negative charge and they attach to calcium. But that's their link to calcium is in the blood clotting mechanism of action, not that vitamin K is going to reduce the risk of calcification, in my opinion.
Right, right. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So getting back to the study at hand, what should physicians who are or gastroenterologists that are ordering their patients to have specific types of surgeries, and a lot of these surgeries are necessary. They're not like elective. When somebody says to you, you have an obstruction, we have to remove a portion of your intestines so you can stay alive.
Right.
What should those doctors be thinking about moving forward to counsel their patients to see another physician and make sure that they have a lot of, they're not developing malabsorption of D or other things?
Yeah, I think that's with this research that alerts you to the fact, you know, are we taking out the distal intestine? How is that affecting the bone? Do we need to consider, so certainly if some of these patients have the proximal intestine, we need to consider their calcium absorption because we are affecting the colon. And maybe they hadn't thought about that before.
Right, right. Yeah, especially since you said previous research made the colon seem optional, like, oh, it has nothing to do with vitamin D absorption at all. So we don't have anything to worry about. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about vitamin D specifically in the context of today's world. We hear – I had a brilliant scientist from Israel come on the show and talk about 25-hydroxy levels and susceptibility to getting viruses. There's research that we talked about on this show earlier in the year that shows that vitamin D3 and its subsequent elevation in 25-hydroxy levels has the ability to kind of turn off retroviruses' ability to replicate. And I want to just find out if you are aware of any of that research and what your opinion of it is. That's all. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's REDCON, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy 2 or more. Start recovering better today.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
When craving a snack, reach for Select Savory Snack Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. it. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat, snack, or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Vitamin D is an exciting vitamin. It's actually a hormone, right? It's not. It's not really a vitamin.
Well, the active form acts analogously to any hormone.
Yeah,
it binds to a nuclear receptor and affects transcription of various target genes, just like any hormone.
And it's very exciting. And maybe we put a little bit too much on the shoulders of vitamin D, and we think that it has all, you know, some pleiotropic effects, and it'll cure everything and it'll fix everything. However, at the onset of the year, with the current pandemic, there was lots of interesting research. I actually wrote a blog in February after citing many articles that I sourced that showed that vitamin D and the sun, you know, it's, you know, we talk about vitamin D like it's this thing, and we forget that it's actually this artificial replacement for the sun. You know, that's really what it comes down to. We get it in our gut. It does work differently, but it works the same in some cases. Obviously, the sun also activates another hormonal process called the melanocortin system, which I think a lot of times actually is the reason for some of the things attributed to vitamin D, but that's another discussion entirely. But the research that I found back then showed that in SARS and MERS and even in HIV, high levels of 25-hydroxy stopped retroviruses from accessing reverse transcriptase and reproducing in rapid quantities. And the viral load wasn't nearly as high as it was expected. What do you think about that? Does vitamin D really have that strong of a potential effect?
So we know about vitamin D affects the immune system, and we know that it inhibits inflammatory cytokines. The role of vitamin D in viral infections is controversial.
Okay.
So some people say yes, some people say no, and you can find literature on both sides. For autoimmune diseases, everybody says, at least in the mouse models, and yes, it definitely inhibits these various inflammatory cytokines. So, and I think what you had mentioned, does it do everything? What we've learned from the mouse models is that it, you know, it's so compelling. If you look at these mice, I mean, we did research in multiple sclerosis, and the mice weren't walking, right? Their EAE model, and then you give them 125, and then they start walking. So, and then there were, collaborated with a younger investigator on a new mouse model of inflammatory bowel disease, and you give them vitamin D, and there's no inflammatory bowel disease. So does vitamin D do that in humans? We have no, we don't have enough clinical trials to say that.
Right.
But the mice studies do indicate that there are various pathways that vitamin D affects that will result in these changes in the mice. Mm-hmm. And since so many genes are analogous in mice and humans, I think the importance of all of this vitamin D pleiotropic actions is that we can identify various new targets for treatment through the pathways. Maybe vitamin D won't do that in humans. We don't know definitively, right? And but there is compelling evidence in multiple sclerosis that if people were deficient from when they were young, and this was a very large study done, that they were more susceptible to multiple sclerosis when they were older. So, but there are few definitive clinical studies. I think the pathways are really important. And back to your question about viruses, that's the most undefined
right.
area.
Right. So,
and with COVID-19, you know,
yes.
What's really interesting is they have paper after paper in this past year on clinical studies that the patients who had COVID-19, it was correlated to vitamin D deficiency. What we don't have is what are mechanisms? Do we have mount, you know, and we're going to collaborate here. I'm in the International Center for Public Health is here in Newark, and I'm collaborating with Padmini Salgame, who is an immunologist. And we are going to look in various mouse models to determine, is there an effect of vitamin D? I mean, there's one step to show a deficiency in patients.
And susceptibility, right. Deficiency and susceptibility aren't, they're corollary. They're not causative, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. There's so much, you know, and then I see paper after paper. It says somebody's got to do the mechanism.
Yes.
So Padmini and I will at least try to address this.
One of the fascinating there's so many fascinating downstream metabolites. You know, when you start going further away from just 25-OHD or 125, and one of them is a peptide. I did a show about this peptide last year. It's called LL37. It's a human cathelicidin, and it's a antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial. It's just this magic peptide.
It's cathelicidin, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about cathelicidin?
Yeah.
So we published a paper on that about a year ago.
Right.
And it's very important what you're saying. It's an antibacterial compound.
Right, right.
So vitamin D does indeed, not only does it, see, you're good. You know a lot of this. So vitamin D not only inhibits inflammatory cytokines, but also affects the innate immune system, where it induces this LL37 cathelicidin, which is an antibacterial compound.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, they thought there was a paper in Science that said, oh, that's how vitamin D is good for TB, right? Because cathelicidin is induced in macrophages, and that kills the TB bacteria, okay? Then Padmini and I wrote a grant and did a study where nobody had looked in the mice. You're doing this in macrophages, right? So, and what we found, that's why we have to be very cautious, is that 125 in her mouse model made it TB worse.
Oh,
and why is
wow.
that? So
I have some theory. I have some theories.
All right. So you need inflammatory cytokines to fight the bacteria, right?
Right. Right.
And there's antibacterial compounds. So it's a two-edged sword, right? So if you're killing the inflammatory cytokines that need to fight this TB versus the the cathelicidin, which is the antibacterial compound, that's increased. The other one is decreased. Well, it appeared, at least in that mouse model, that the cytokines were important, and so we inhibited them. So even though, and it was a mouse model, I must say, that cathelicidin is only in humans. So the mice
may not
have cathelicidin.
Right.
So to follow up on that study would take the mice that were humanized, that you put in the cathelicidin gene, would they, and we did do a pilot on those mice, and it didn't make much of a difference. They still got worse. So which part of that sword is going to predominate? And at least in that mouse model, we needed the cytokines to fight the TB infection.
So, and it's not just that. I think there's part of the hard part of all of this is we just want to look at this one thing. You know, we just and the body is so complex. It's almost insulting to think that, just like you said, you know, if we get rid of the these bad pathogens, everything will be fine. But, you know, inflammation plays a very strong role, negative and positive. We know this, right? Oxidation. We know that in cancer, say, for instance, IGF-1 has a push-pull effect on cancer. It not only stimulates growth, but it's a powerful reducer of ROS. And ROS kills tumor cells if left to do it on its own. So it's so complex. But the other thing that adds complexity to this whole discussion, and I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you don't lose respect for me, but I use LL37. I inject it once every couple months.
Antibacterial.
Yeah. once, because I'm getting older. I'm 62 years old. You know, my immune system isn't what it used to be. And I take 100 micrograms a day for 30 days, and then I take a couple months off, and that's it. And I got to tell you, I've noticed a lot of changes from – I used to have this fungus that used to change the pigment in my skin. It's all gone. And then when I don't use it for a long time, it starts to come back again. So it's still there. But the addition of the LL37, the exogenous LL37, is keeping it under control. But the other thing that we're learning now, because of the wonderful new frontier of the microbiome, is not all microbes are bad. So an LL37 it's indiscriminate. It doesn't just go, oh, you're a bad microbe, I'm going to get rid of you. It thins the herd all the way around. So it could even have the effect that some of the microbes it's getting rid of in the rodent models are actually beneficial microbes. So anyway, fascinating discussion. I love this kind of stuff, and I love vitamin D. I hope that you will come back and talk more about your next research.
Okie doke. Okay.
Thank you for being here today.
All right. Thank you. It was fun.
Bye-bye. All right. So we are supposed to have an Olympian on the show. And his name is Jared Ward, and he is a distance runner. He was in the 2016 Olympia as a runner, not the bodybuilding competition in Olympia. But he has not connected yet, and I'm trying to text with him now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one last commercial break and see if I can get Jared on the phone and get him to connect for the next interview. So stay tuned. You're watching Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Oh, here he is. That's great.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor
and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today.
By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We are pleased to be joined by Jared Ward. How you doing, Jared?
Hey, I'm just living the dream, Carl. How are you?
I know you are. And we got to talk about who you are first before we start talking about something that both of you, you and I, are really crazy about right now, which is the Meteor. You were an Olympic distance runner, right?
That's right, yeah. I ran the marathon in 2016.
Are you still running now? Do you still run?
Yes. Yeah, too much, in fact.
Do you really?
Yeah, so I have a race this Sunday. I'm racing in Arizona. It's kind of one of those elite-only races, COVID-adapted races, and I'm pretty excited.
What does COVID-adapted mean? You're not running with a face mask, right?
No masks, but I have to have a number of negative tests before the race. We're kind of quarantined for the days leading up to the race, and then it's an elite-only field with no spectators. So it's just, you know, think of the NBA bubble applied to marathon running.
Are you excited?
Super excited. You know, if COVID hasn't done anything else for me as a professional athlete, it's made me grateful for the opportunities that I've had every other year and taken for granted. And so just to have a race is a huge blessing.
Yeah, you're chomping at the bit. How old
That's
are you
it.
Now? How old are you now, Jared?
32.
Okay. What is the career expectancy of a long distance runner like you?
Well, it depends on how long you can go until your legs and your knees and all those joints stop working. So we have it better certainly than, you know, gymnasts or sprinters or things like that, because your cardiovascular system can just I actually really believe it can just keep getting better forever.
Right.
But eventually your body just can't quite keep up with the pounding. So, you know, if I can last another 5 or 6 years, I'd be pretty happy. You know, I think peak's probably into the mid-30s, as long as you stay healthy.
Now, what part of the country do you live in?
I live in Utah.
Oh, really? So do you ever get up to Mount Zion National Park at all?
Isn't that place beautiful? Yes.
You know, I lived in Vegas for 8 years when I was in my 20s, and I used to go to Mount Zion to go camping. And once you get in there, it's you don't want to leave. It's just beautiful. It's amazing.
No, yeah, I think some of those southeastern national parks in Utah are something else. You know, Moab and Capitol Reef, and and then down into the Grand Canyon, and then Zion. I mean, I don't know what happened in that area when God was creating the world, but he set some pretty things in motion.
Beautiful. Excuse me. So obviously you have some nagging injuries at this point in your life, huh?
Always something.
And there's this neat little thing, and it's I carried around the house with me. In fact, it's plugged in right now, and I forgot to take it with me. But it's called the Meteor, and it kind of looks and feels like a smaller version of the ball that we used to use to play dodgeball. It just fits right in the palm of your hand so nicely. But it's got three different vibration settings and heat. And you can fit this thing everywhere. You know, I see a lot of these, basically, they kind of remind me of jigsaws with rubber balls on the end. I see a lot of them. You know, people are pounding themselves out with it. I don't think that's good. I actually think that even some massages are injurious. They actually hurt you, and like you hurt for days, and people want to tell you that's good. No, that's not good. If you did an exercise that made you feel like that, you wouldn't do it again. But people keep going back and getting hurt. But this ball, the Meteor, is the most – it's the only one I've ever used, and I use it all the time. And I use it so many different ways. It's ridiculous. You use it too, don't you?
Yeah. I use it every day.
How do you use it? And I'll tell you how I use mine.
Well, I'm excited to hear that. You got me on the edge of my seat now.
Well, it's nothing that great, but it's going to be funny when I tell you.
So as a runner, I feel like one of the tightest places that I get is my upper glutes and my external rotators, kind of right there in your seat. And as I get those looser, and even into the front when you get into like hip flexor and in the top of your quadricep muscle there, if I can get that area loose, everything running seems to feel a little bit better. So I spend a lot of time on my glutes, just kind of rolling out, massaging on that vibrating heating ball in the mornings before I run. But I also love it for plantar fasciitis, right in my arches. So I, you know, and I wouldn't say I suffer from plantar fasciitis, but anyone who runs is going to get, you know, achy, sore arches every once in a while. And getting that right under my foot, I've found is incredible for relieving that specific spot.
And it's the perfect size. You know, I had a guy on the, a gal on the show many years ago who talked about using a tennis ball.
Sure.
But it doesn't work for me. I'm a big guy and can get in that tennis ball right where I want it and then, you know, kind of rubbing on it. And I kind of feel like a big bear trying to scratch my back with a little branch or something. But this is – it's substantial. The ball is substantial. I feel so bad I didn't bring it with me. But like I said, I plugged it in this morning and I just left it there.
It's like a softball size, you know.
It's a little bit bigger than a softball, just perfect. But I can fit that. I do that. I do the arches for my feet because I've had some problems with my feet. I had a surgery on the left foot. I do that. But the thing that I love the most with it is I'll lay down in bed and put it right on my neck and then just let my head stretch out and let my neck stretch out over it. Oh, my God. And that's how I discovered one of the things I love to do with it that I bet nobody's using it for. You put it on the lowest vibrating setting, and you start in the middle of your head, and you roll it forward, and you roll it back, and then you roll it this way. Transcranial vibration therapy. It's amazing. Like, if you feel that funk in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, and you're thinking, I don't want to have coffee because then I won't sleep tonight, turn the ball on, roll it around your head a little while. Watch what happens. You're wide awake. You feel energized. You feel like, okay, I'm ready to go now. This thing is amazing for that.
You know, that's interesting you say that because, you know, one, you know, from an athlete perspective and just getting some stimulation, vibration that helps your rollout feel a little bit better, you know, there's a whole range of vibrations that you can use that satisfy that. But our engineer and CEO, John O'Dapiri, really developed this ball with the research on vibration amplitudes and frequencies that resonate with the vagus nerve and your central nervous system. And so it's interesting that you say, you know, it works well on your head. It vibrates at the frequencies that are most conducive to the human body for communicating with our nerves. And it was built for that.
So I love doing that. And I discovered it one night when I was laying in bed with it, and it kind of started to creep up, and it felt good. It was that, like my face felt like it was vibrating, but it felt good. It didn't feel scary. You can't do that with one of those punching boxing gloves on a handle. Like, you just can't do that. And the other thing I like about it is the heat. I have some lumbar spine issues. And so, again, I'll lay down in bed and I'll push it underneath my lumbar spine. I'll kind of roll a little bit till it's right in the right spot. And the heat kicks in and it feels good. And I can actually feel a difference in the way I get out of bed and walk after I do that. That's the telltale sign for me. If I get out of bed and walk after that, I just feel like my legs work better. It's because it's separating the – I have some compression in L4, L5, and S1. Actually, bad compression. And it just kind of loosens it back up. And I can tell that my nerves going into my legs are unimpinged any longer up in that area, and they feel good. But it's the thing about this is you could use it anywhere. You could take it in your car. You could take it to work. You could use it at home. It doesn't look goofy like that sledgehammer on a jigsaw. I mean, it's actually – and you find yourself – I literally carry it from room to room. Elisa says to me, you know, why don't you put it down? And I say, no, because I think when I get over there, I want to – since I'm working, I'm going to put it underneath my feet and I'm going to roll it out on my arches because I do the same thing you do. It's just fantastic. This is a must-have product if you are a trainer, a trainee, or you're just getting older and you don't like the way your body is acting anymore. This is a fantastic product, and we have a fantastic offer right now. Right now, if you go to shrnetwork.biz/meteor, use the code SHR15, you'll get 15% off, plus – if you order two or more, you get free shipping. And this is going to make a great Christmas gift for anybody who's fast enough to pull the trigger. Because this is something that whoever you buy it for will think of you every day because they will use it every day. And by the way, one of the things I hate about everything I have today is you got to charge things all the time. I find I only have to charge this once every 3 or 4 days. That's it. So it's a beautiful product. Fantastic.
Yeah, the engineering was really well thought out on this. When you get products developed by engineers as opposed to business salesmen, you get stuff that has a lot of those things thought out.
I just saw a blonde angel walk by. A little blonde-haired angel.
There are a lot of those in this.
But the other thing I wanted to mention is the high speed setting. That is just amazing. That is something that I use on my lumbar spine. That high speed setting, you feel that. That is, it's not like, it's really activating all of the muscle fibers that it's touching. It's just amazing.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that feedback. You know, it really was developed for athletes and by athletes. So, you know, I partnered with these two founders early. The other founder besides Jono is a guy named Shaq Walker. And Shaq was a professional runner as well. And so it was built with athletes in mind. But what we found is that it really has a targeted audience of anyone that suffers from any kind of pain. And the product has really filled that niche. And we've received some of the most positive feedback from people in the chronic pain category.
Sure. Because it's immediate. The pain goes away immediately. When you use it, it's like it's gone. And somebody will say, well, but then it comes back 2 hours later. So you're telling me it's better not to have interrupted pain, just have it all day long instead of having control.
I do think that there's some things we can do to work on muscle tissues and things to lengthen tissues and help relieve pain and things like that, that it can work with. But yeah, think of it like your Tylenol or your ibuprofen. You know, if you want to get off the ibuprofen, well, try rolling out on the Meteor.
Yes. So how many children do you have?
We have four and one on the way.
Excellent. Any of them runners?
We'll see. Yeah. My oldest is 8 and a few of them like it. They're all active.
Good for you. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm excited about this product. I'm excited about the fact that you guys are sponsors on the show. And like I say all the time, we bring you free information, like the interview we just did about vitamin D and the colon. We ask that you always patronize the sponsors. And we vet our sponsors to make sure that the products that they have are worth your dollars. And I'm telling you, this product is worth your dollars. Don't be without it. I guarantee you'll love it. And get a couple for Christmas. The holidays are here. Give one to your wife. Give one to your partner. Give one to your boss. Maybe he'll stop breaking your chops. Go to shrnetwork.biz/meteor. Use the code SHR15. Start using it today. You'll thank me tomorrow, I promise. Listen, I want to
thank you, Carl.
Oh, you're not Sylvia. I want to thank you, Jared. That was my previous guest. Sorry about that. I want to thank you for making the interview today, too.
Hey, I'm happy to. This was fun. And the 15% discount really is a pretty good buy on the Meteor. These guys, they don't discount it very often. And so if it's something you're on the fence on, take advantage of this discount through the radio.
It's not terribly expensive, first of all. And then to get a 15% discount on it and order two and get free shipping. So there's money back in your pocket right there. So there you go. Thanks for being here, brother. Hey, who's that? Wait. Hi. Hi. Oh, she's adorable. Okay. See you guys later. Thanks, Jared.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
All right. Bye. All right. So that's it for today. Now, tomorrow we have a really good show. Joel Green is going to be joining us tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the intersect of faith and science. And many of us are people of faith and we are people of science. And some people struggle with that. But you don't have to struggle with it. There is an intersect where faith and science work together, and nobody knows it better than Joel Green. And so we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Don't miss that show. And don't forget, Friday is the 15-year anniversary of this podcast, and we're going to have a great show, lots of fun. And if you want to be immortalized in that podcast, you just have to do one of two things. Either email me at onair@superhumanradio.net. Just include your name and the year you started listening. Or if you feel bold and you want to actually have your face in this podcast, just make a brief video with your iPhone or Android phone. Say, hey, Carl, happy 15th anniversary. Keep rocking. Something like that. Real simple. 10 seconds, 5 seconds. Doesn't have to be anything elaborate. And then upload it to shrnetwork.biz/your story. And you will be in the 15-year anniversary podcast episode forever. So that's it. All right, see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio, and thank you for being here today.